of condemnation upon the soldiers of your people. Remove, oh God, the spirit of depression. Drive out, God, the spirit of fear. Let prayer take precedence in this place here today. Show yourself strong in the hearts and the lives of your people. We ask it in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. And if you believe in prayer, clap your hands unto the Lord and give a praise of triumph to him. Is there anybody here today you've ever experienced the power of prayer? Have you ever seen prayer do something great in your life? Great in the life of somebody else? Thank God for the delivering power of prayer. God bless you. You may be seated. A little excerpt here that I found in reading while studying upon this subject. The following is from an epistle of the Roman emperor, Marcus Aurelius was his name. He was born in the year 129 AD. He died in 180. This was found in volume 2 of the Anti-Nicene Christian Library. And here is how the words penned by this emperor read. The Emperor Caesar Marcus Aurelius Antoninus, to the people of Rome and to the sacred Senate, greetings. I explain to you by my grand design and what advantages I gain on the confines of Germany, and much labor and suffering in consequence of the circumstance that I was surrounded by the enemy. I myself being shut up in a quaternium by 74 cohorts 9 miles off, and the enemy being at hand, the scouts pointed out to us, General Pompeius shown us that there was close on us a mass of multitude of 977,000 men, which indeed we saw ourselves. I was shut in by this vast host, having with me only a battalion composed of the 1st, 10th, and double marine legions. Having then examined my own position and my host with respect unto the vast mass of barbarians and the enemy that had come upon me, I quickly betook myself to prayer to the gods of my country. But being disregarded by them, I had heard of these among us who called themselves Christians. And so I sought them out and found that there was a great number and a vast host of them. I became angry when I realized how many there were, and I raged myself against them, yet to no avail, for later I learned of their power. Wherefore they began to battle. I summoned them and asked them, call on your God, for my gods have done nothing. They began to battle, not preparing weapons, nor arms, nor bugles, for such a preparation was a hateful thing to them. But they fell upon their faces, began to call upon the God of their conscience. It was therefore that I realized men whom I deemed to be atheists were actually men who simply believed wholeheartedly in their one God. As they cast themselves upon the ground, they prayed not only for me, but the entire army, and they began to call upon their God for deliverance. Listen, of the present thirst and famine, for it had been 5 days since we had gotten no water, and there was none, for we were in enemy territory in the land of Germany. While they were praying simultaneously, as they opened up their voices and called upon their God, casting themselves upon the ground, praying and seeking the face of the God of whom I was ignorant. While they prayed, water began to pour out of the skies of heaven upon us, refreshing cool water. And at the same time, withering hell was poured out upon our enemy who surrounded us. And immediately we recognized the presence of this one God who followed this prayer, a God unconquerable and indestructible. If a heathen can recognize the power of prayer, If a heathen could recognize the power and how God responds to the power of prayer, how much should we who are filled with His Spirit, baptized in His name, we know who our one God is. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. How much more should we today recognize when we fall upon our face, when we open up our mouth, that God will respond, that the angels of heaven will move, and deliverance will come. That when we pray, God is going to open up the windows of heaven and pour out refreshing rain upon us, and at the same time pour out brimstone, fire, and hell upon our adversary and bring deliverance. Somebody shout, but prayer. Acts 12, verse 4, we read in our text here today, when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four centurions, or to 16 soldiers to keep him, intending to destroy or kill Peter after Easter. These four sets of men, there were a reason why they chose four. There were four watches of the night. Two men were chained to Peter, one chained to the right hand of one of the soldiers and to the left hand of Peter. And then the other chain to the left hand of the soldier and the right hand of Peter. And then they locked him in the deepest of the dungeons where there was no light, no windows, no door, no nothing. And there he sat in darkness. And then outside of the door were two more soldiers. Every 4 hours they would change the guards. There's another place in history that tells us the reason why they changed the guards so often on Christians was because within a 4 hour period, most of the guards that were guarding them were talking in tongues and believing in an almighty God. Hallelujah! And so they would change the sets of these prisoners. They wanted to make sure that they did not get tired. They wanted to make sure that they did not get weary. They wanted to make sure they didn't relax on the job. So they would switch them out. They wanted to make sure that there was always a good watch, a fresh watch, an alert watch. I got news for the devil. I know he don't grow weary. I know he don't get tired. I know he's always fresh. I know he's always watching, but I got news for you, devil. You can be as alert as you want. You can be as quick as you feel. You can put as many of your demons on me as you want, but when the power of prayer goes to work in my life, or the life of a brother, or a life of a sister, it doesn't matter how hard you got them bound. It don't matter how deep they're in. I'm here to tell you, where sin abound, the grace of God doth much more abound. The light of God will shine. The power of God will work. And the deliverance of prayer will come through. Somebody shout, but prayer. In verse number 5, Peter therefore kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing from the church unto God for him. The presence of God following upon those prayers. Prayers and tears are the arms of the church. Therewith the church fights with, not only against her enemies, but for her friends. You see, the unique thing about prayer is it does two things. When you go to prayer for someone, when they went to prayer for Simon Peter, I want to tell you that a spirit of peace came into that prison. It made its way down deep into that cell where light could not go, where no man could find made its way into that prison cell, slipped its way past the bars, went right past the prison, the guards, made its way there to Peter and rested itself upon him. And the word of the Lord says on the night that the night before Peter was to have his head cut off or a sword put through his body, however they choose to kill him, the night before, Peter leaned his head over, probably on the shoulder of the guard next to him, padded it up a little bit, and went to sleep. Because I'm going to tell you, the unique thing about prayer is it'll do two things. One, when you pray for somebody, it'll send strength, it'll send peace, it'll send comfort. The first thing prayer is going to do is take care of the one you're praying for. But prayer don't stop there. After prayer sends peace. After prayer gives comfort. After prayer touches the heart, the mind, and the spirit, then prayer will attack the enemy and drive back the foe and destroy the adversary. The power of prayer. Somebody shout, but prayer. Now, I thought it was kind of unique that they added this verse. Verse number 2. Personally, when I read it, I got depressed. And I thought to myself, well, dear Lord, if this happened in verse 2, what are we doing praying in verse 5? Because verse 2 said, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Do you just think they didn't pray for James? Do you think the church just didn't, they just didn't care about James? The brother of John, whom loved Jesus, whose head laid upon his chest at the table, whom the Bible talks about and promotes and loves, and one of the great disciples. Friend, let me tell you, when James was captured, the church went to prayer for James. But for whatever purpose, I'm about to give the devil a black eye. I'm about to shove his cerebral cortex all the way to the backside of his head. I don't know why God allowed James to die. I don't understand why that happened. But this I do know. When they captured Peter, it did not discourage the church. It did not stop them from praying. Because James was not delivered, doesn't mean prayer cannot deliver. The church understood that. They left that in God's hands. But when they got Peter, they went right back to prayer. They went right back to fasting. They went right back to calling on God. And that God sent an angel and delivered Peter. I've come to tell you, Mom. I've come to tell you, Dad. I don't know why God let that happen. I don't know why God let that one fail. I don't know why God let that one backslide. But that doesn't mean to give up on this one or give up on that one. I've come to tell the devil, prayer works. And when we pray, heaven hears, and the will of God will be accomplished. Deliverance will come. Somebody say, but prayer. Shout, but prayer. Say, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to quit. For who knows that God might deliver. Woo! Put your hands together. This I will tell you. Without prayer, it won't happen. For all things come about by prayer. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 6, I'm going to be done by 1 o'clock. That's just a few more minutes. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping, bound with chains and kept before the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined. In a place where there was no light. Peter, you can't be in that cell and mistakenly think that the sun's rising. The sun doesn't get there. You can't mistakenly think that somebody pulled the shade back on the window because there are no windows. You can't think maybe that there was a big thick crack in the wall and the light came through because you're several layers down. You're deep in the bottom of the most filthiest part of the dungeon that there is. But the Bible says a light came. And he smote Peter on the side. My God, have mercy. I'm fixing to preach deliverance to somebody here. Whew, there's so much power in this verse, I just want to quit and run. Don't tell me there's no hope for your wayward son. Don't tell me there's no hope for your wayward daughter. Don't tell me there's no hope for your marriage. Don't tell me there's no hope in your dilemma. God will bring a light. God will smote them. God will raise them up. God will break their chains. God will bring them out. Somebody shout, but prayer. Shout, but prayer. Woo! Lord, I feel deliverance in the house. There is deliverance in prayer. Mama, don't stop praying. Daddy, don't stop praying. Son, daughter, don't stop praying for your mom and dad. Your grandfather, grandmother, uncles, cousins, friends, daughters, don't stop praying. Smote him, rose him up. Chains fell off his hands. Prayer delivered him out of an impossible circumstance. Brought light into a place that was dark. Awakened him up out of his sleep. It's like Psalms 34 and 7. The angel of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Delivereth them. I looked at these verses following. It says the chains fell off his hands. And then when Peter got to the gate opened. Listen, he might as well have been Samson. And God might as well have given him the strength to break chains like feathers. And might as well have given him the strength to rip the gates off their hinges and put them on his back and carry them up the hill of the city. Because prayer became his might. Prayer became his strength. Prayer became his deliverance. I'm here to tell you, prayer will turn you into a Samson. Prayer will give you the wisdom of Solomon. Prayer, woo, will give you the fire and the faith of Abraham and the fire of Elijah. Somebody shout, but prayer. Lord have mercy. I'm running out of time. When prayer is done and God has finished delivering you, you are going to know without a doubt. And everybody is going to know without a doubt that God had wrought a miracle. I'm going to tell you something. Y'all didn't see Brother Walcott a few days ago. I don't know why he comes shows me his old ugly face every time he gets sick. Sends me a text. I'm going, oh my God, Jesus. I want to tell you, it looked like he was going to revert all the way back to his worst moment. His face had swollen, his eyes were almost gone. It was horrible, and it happened overnight. It happened after the great testimony. Devil's a liar. It's the father of it. Whew. And then God, we went to prayer and God began to move. And just like every time before, the doctors can't do nothing but stand in front of him. And they just got this exasperated look upon their face. And they're just looking at him and they're going, "Would you just die?" That's probably what they're thinking. "We're tired of trying to have to explain how you keep getting up on the deathbed. We're tired of you having to use the word miracle. Every time we see you, you go against everything in the medical book. You go against everything we've learned. You go against everything we've been taught." God have mercy. Somebody shout, "But prayer." Shout, "But prayer." The doctor says you're going to die. The lawyer says you're going to lose your home. Your friend says your daughter's lost. Oh my God, have mercy. Your husband says, "I'm never going to church." Prayer can go everywhere. God's can go. Prayer can go, can do anything God can do. Prayer is omnipotent. Prayer is omniscient. Prayer is omnipresent. It is prayer. Shout, "But prayer." Music, come to the platform. Hurry up. I ain't got much left and I don't want to lose it. Say, "Lot would have been destroyed, but Israel would have drowned. False prophets would have prevailed. Dead lions would have ate Daniel. Peter would have been sifted as wheat. Samson would have died defeated. Jonah would have died in a well. Famine would have persisted. Paul and Silas would still be in prison." My Lord, let's stand to our feet and clap our hands to the Lord. Give praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Somebody, come on, send up a shout to Jesus. Clap your hands with vigor. Hallelujah. I want to end this with the most amazing thing. I want to let every person know in this building,
come on, Pastor. Yeah.
No matter your circumstance,
no matter the circumstance,
no matter your dilemma, no matter how deep the dungeon and how dark it is, prayer will break through on you. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1. "And he spake a parable unto them to this end: men are always to pray and not to faint." He looked at Peter, chapter 22 of Luke and verse 31. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon." Woo! "Behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Thank you. said, but I had prayed for thee that thy faith fail thee not. You say, but that's Peter. No, no, no. Hebrew tells us he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I've come to tell you, sir, today, ma'am, that Jesus Christ is praying for you. My marriage, but prayer. My children, but prayer. My finances, but prayer. My health, but prayer. Yes, your mother's praying for you. Yes, this church prays for you. Yes, your friend may be praying for you. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ Himself is praying for you. And it doesn't matter how deep of a dungeon, it doesn't matter how far out you may feel you are, or how far away, or how difficult the situation or the dilemma. Jesus is praying for you. I know I've seen things in my life. I've seen God turn things around in my life. That I know He interceded for me. He spared my life, my family, this church, your life, your family. And if you're here today, some of you, you may be in the church like old Peter was, but you just feel like you've been locked up deep down in a dungeon somewhere. And Satan has proclaimed death upon you. And he has come against you in all kinds of ways. But I'm here to tell you, the church is praying. I'm here to tell you, the Lord is praying. And there's deliverance in the house for you. And you can rest assured God is bringing deliverance. And this altar is open right now. You may want to make your way down and come give God thanks for His prayers. Come give the church to the Lord thanks for the prayers of the church. Just come and receive deliverance. If you're here today and you've never been filled with God's Spirit, He's here for you. Friend, if you've come and there's a dilemma in your life, there's a situation in your marriage, a situation in your family, a situation on your job, in your body, your health, you don't know what to do or how to handle it, I'm here to tell you, why don't you step out from where you are, make your way down to this altar, because I've come to tell you, Jesus is praying for you, that Satan will not sift you as wheat. Satan will not have his way. Satan will not win this battle. God has prayed for you. You can make it. You can get through this. You can overcome. You can win. You can conquer. Stretch your hands out. Feel the prayers of your intercessor. Feel the prayers of the church. Feel the prayers of your priest, Jesus. Feel the prayers of the man, Christ Jesus. Feel the prayers that have gone out for you. Feel as He has defeated the adversary in your life, as He's breaking the chains off your hands, as He's opening the door of the prison, as He's bringing light that you might see where to go, as He is delivering you out of this circumstance, out of this dilemma, as He sets you free. But prayer, but prayer. But prayer. Woo! I would have died, but prayer. I'd have lost everything, but prayer. I'd have lost my marriage, but prayer. I'd have lost my kids, but prayer. My God, my God, my God, my God. I'd have lost my sanity, but prayer. I'd have lost my salvation, but prayer. This altar is open to whosoever will. Whosoever will, let him come. Reach out to God. You can do it right where you're at. Just lift your hands. Let's everybody do that. Let's everybody lift our hands and begin to call on God and feel the power of prayer in your life. Call on Him, call on Him, call on Him, call on Him. You might be standing by somebody that needs prayer, standing by someone that could use a little prayer. By God, let's pray for one another. Pray for yourself. Feel the prayer of God. Feel the prayer of the church. But prayer. Prayer is being made for you.
Hallelujah. Can't stop praying in Jesus' name. I just can't stop praying in Jesus' name. Just can't stop praying. Jesus' name.